One thing that people aren't really aware of when they investigate a franchise and start looking at it deeply is the resources, not only at the corporate office, but all the other franchisees, because they're all doing that same thing. And they're this network. So when you do good, they're there to cheer you and support you and celebrate you, and they know what it took. And if you make a mistake or you screw up and you talk to someone, they go, yeah, I understand, I did that too, or I almost did it, or I remember it from training. And you're not alone. And that network is just a wonderful resource for you.
Welcome to the Small Business Storytellers, the show where we dive deep into the stories and secrets of businesses focused on not just making money, but making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers, and my passion is helping businesses grow that are making the world a better place. Every episode, you will hear from transformational leaders and business owners as we dive into what has helped them grow and what has helped them stay true to themselves along the way. Also, every week we are hosting live conversations with our guests in Fireside Chat, where we give you, the audience, the opportunity to ask them your burning questions. So make sure to join us live on Fireside Chat on your mobile device. Let's dive in. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. On today's episode, we're going to talk about how to really realize your dreams. And with that, how we're not really meant to do it alone. We're meant to go on that journey with other people. And so to help us through this conversation, I have a new friend with me, Diane Plois, who is with FranChoice. She lives in the East Bay of San Francisco. And she's going to talk about how she helps people to really realize their dreams and helps businesses along that journey. Diane, welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you very much, Seth. It is certainly my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Let's get straight into it. We'll go back and talk about your story a little bit, but I want our listeners to know from the very get-go, who do you help and how do you help them?
I help people who are interested in having their own business, specifically a franchise.
Okay.
I match good people to good franchises based upon the person's goals, skills, interests, and investment level. So first I learn all about the person, what's important to them, what is their why, if you will, because a franchise or a business is really a vehicle to get them somewhere, and where is it they want to go? So I take them through a process, learn about them, make recommendations of franchise companies that are available where they are and viable, and then coach and guide them through the process so at the end they can make a sound business decision, whether that's a yes or a no.
I think that's so interesting with franchises because, I mean, I'm sure everybody has driven past, whether it's, you know, a Chick-fil-A or, you know, a Starbucks or even a McDonald's or something. We've all seen like lines around the building and thought to ourselves like, man, that must be a good business to get into. Why is franchising maybe not a good business to get into? And why could it be a good business? Like present kind of both sides of why it could be not the right option and why it could be a really good option.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned fast food, and I think I also heard why it might not be a good option. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. Interestingly, sometimes people will go on vacation, Seth, and they'll come back and they'll say, I saw this new, and there was a line out the door around the block, and we don't have it here, and man, that looked great. So I'll say, well, let's back up a little bit and let's look at the business. Let's first start with you. Do you want a business that's location-based, brick and mortar, that probably needs to be at the intersection of Main and Main? Do you want a business that is involved nights and weekends primarily to drive the business? And how many employees do you want? And what is the investment? And all of a sudden, they start looking at that a little bit longer term than immediate people out the door to say, gee, I don't know if I want that. Mm-hmm. So that might be an example of a franchise that could be very good for someone, but maybe not very good for that particular person.
Right. Yeah. And on the flip side, who is a franchise a really good option for?
It's a very good option for a person who has some confidence in themselves, who is coachable, who has that fire in the belly, who has that attitude that if you teach me, I can learn, I can do this. I've been successful before. If you've got a system, I can follow it. And I would love nothing better than to build something for myself and have the hard work and effort that I put in come back and benefit me and my family.
Yeah. And with friend, I think that's a really good example of, you know, just somebody who they understand the value of processes. You know, they're maybe not wanting to build their own process and build their own store from scratch, but they know they could do a good job with someone else. I know this varies. I've heard so many different things as far as how much does it cost to get it to buy a franchise. Again, kind of giving our audience kind of a balanced perspective, on the low end and on the high end, what are people looking at when they get a franchise? I've heard anywhere from $1 as like a franchise fee to $24 million, depending on the company.
That is quite the range, isn't it?
Yeah. Help our audience understand kind of some of the range and, sure, and maybe just big picture, how much can it cost to get into franchising?
Sure. First of all, again, we immediately think or equate franchising with fast food and French fries. And many times those are a pretty hefty investment. So we might think, gee, you need $1 million or something like that. And that could be the case depending upon the concept that you go with. On the flip side, there are many franchises that are much more reasonable that people can look at to get into. So many companies, or most companies, will have certain requirements. They'll have a liquidity requirement and a net worth requirement. Most of the time, people do not come to a franchise with a duffel bag of cash. Most of the time, they are putting down approximately 30% of the total investment and borrowing the balance.
Okay.
So if we look at it and we say certain franchises might have a low one-time franchise fee of $15,000 for a Subway or something like that. And then certainly there are franchises that have a six-digit franchise fee, again, that one-time fee. And then you're adding on what happens after that. Franchise companies are highly regulated, and they have to disclose what the investment would be for a minimum of the first 3 months. So they'll include working capital, they'll include cost of equipment, cost of goods, advertising and marketing, employee salaries, all of those types of things for their specific franchise so that the person is adequately capitalized. Mm. Now, I guess that your audience is probably waiting to hear some hard numbers. So if we look at franchise fees, that one-time payment, many times they're in the $50,000 to $70,000 range. Again, they may be less, they may be more, but if you look at that and then you add working capital, franchise companies, again, good, solid ones that you could do amazing with, probably start total investment at about $75,000. Okay. And go up from there.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's great. And you know what I've heard, you know, there's some where it's like, yeah, there's a $1. And I think I actually heard that. I want to say I heard that for Chick-fil-A, where it's like a very low, but then the filtration, like it's very hard to get approved. And there's a lot of capital that they initially say in the first few years, be expecting to spend this much. But yes, if you get approved, it's a dollar or something.
Chick-fil-A is a bit unusual in that their franchise fee is $10,000. So it's okay. Very manageable for most people. However, the caveat is they have looked statistically, and it is easier to get into Stanford than to be awarded a Chick-fil-A franchise because so many people are interested in that concept.
Wow. Yeah, that is wild. When you have people coming to you right now, what are some, if they're just kind of pretty open-minded, hey, I want to get into franchising, I'm just from your biased perspective, I don't really think unbiased exists. I think we're all biased towards something. From your bias, what do you think are some good opportunities in franchising right now? What are some are there some franchises that you really like? And I don't know legalities if you're even allowed to say, but what industries or franchises are you recommending these days, or do you think are kind of hot, if you will?
Well, there are some franchises or some industries that I am quite interested in or bullish on, you might say. And those are some of these service-based franchises. specifically ones that can be run out of a small office or a home office or sometimes a vehicle, because the investment is lower. Most of them have been deemed essential services, so they are able to continue doing business during the pandemic. And most of the time, these services are ones that can't be offshored. They're ones that Amazon can't do. So there is a need for them. And most of the time, people that are using these services don't want to do them. They don't have the skills. They don't have the interest. They don't have the tools. They don't have the time. They would simply rather pay to have someone do it.
So you're talking about maybe like carpet cleaners, HVAC, things like that.
It could be those things. It could be a handyman. So how many times have you said, gee, I could fix something like that, and you go to the hardware store and you find out there's five different versions of the one part you thought you needed, and then you scratch your head a little bit and you say, do I really want to do this? How much is it going to cost me? How many trips back and forth? Maybe I should just call someone who could do it right the first time.
Right.
So it could be that. It could be painting. It could be lawn care, pool care, roofing, insulation, gutters, flooring, window coverings, cleaning, window washing.
Right.
All those are service-based businesses. Mm-hmm. Some where the person is the owner-operator and they're providing the service. Other times where they are the manager, we call it a manager-run business or an executive model, and they are not performing the services themselves. They are overseeing technicians who are doing it, and some of those businesses are even what we call manager-run. So they will keep an existing job or an existing business and build a business through a manager and grow and scale it that way.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. We, you know, at the beginning of this episode, I talked about how this is connected to like realizing your dreams, to achieving the dreams that you've had, and how we're not supposed to do that alone. I think so many business owners feel the pressure to create everything on their own and to create everything from scratch. I'd love to hear your perspective on just that conversation of kind of this, hey, do you start from scratch and try and build your own unique thing? Or do you take advantage of, you know, a process and system and business that somebody's kind of built for you?
Well, I've worked with a variety of people over the years, and one person that I worked with had an independent business. He had created it, grown it, sold it, and for his next iteration, he wanted a franchise. And I quizzed him pretty hard because I thought he could maybe be too independent, maybe wouldn't be coachable to run a business. And he gave a heavy sigh and he said, Diane, I had to create everything. I had to find someone to do the website. I had to find the photographer. I had to find the copywriter. I had to vet my own vendors. I had to come up with contracts for my employees. I had to figure out digital advertising and marketing. And I figured it out, and I was enormously proud of what I did. But man, it was a lot of work. And I prefer now the second round to execute. That's what I'm good at. So give me these tools. Give me that infrastructure. Let me run. I want to get up and I want to be bigger, faster.
Yeah. I think that's so significant to recognize that there's different paths to starting your own business. There's different paths to achieving your dreams and achieving the financial freedom that people often pursue when they want to start their own thing. Let's assume I had all the money that I needed, so the resources weren't an issue. Again, I'm sure this depends on who I go with, what franchise. How long does this take? If I called you and said, all right, I'm ready, I want a franchise, I have the resources we need, that's not going to hold us back. How long would I be up and running and selling whatever I'm selling?
Okay. Legally, franchise candidates, someone who's looking at a franchise, must receive a legal document called a franchise disclosure document, sign it that they received it, and there has to be a minimum of 14 days that they have to look through it, talk with existing franchisees, learn about the business. Way back when, there were people that promised the moon and couldn't deliver. So things have become more regulated, which is a very good thing. Now, sometimes when I work with people and they call me and they say, I was just downsized. I did not get a severance package. I can't afford to take time off. I want to have more control and I want a business this time. I don't have that big idea. I want the franchise. Let's get going. So we will get started and we can go through the process in a couple of weeks. Most people take 4 to 8 weeks approximately to go through the business. The franchise companies will have everything segmented. So they'll talk about their management team, their vision for the business. They'll talk about the financials. They'll talk about the training, the support, the vendors. They'll go through the legal document. You'll be able to talk to other franchisees. And at the end, usually the last step is what's called a confirmation day or a meet the team day or a discovery day where you meet the whole management team, finalize any questions that you have, and then make that decision. So it's pretty well laid out for you.
Yeah.
However, people, as they're going through, they may need to get their funding. They want to probably have a spouse or partner involved. Mm-hmm. So even though people say, let's go, I always want to make sure that they're doing a good, thorough due diligence and getting their questions answered and asking the hard questions and the follow-up questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's so many moving parts to that. Do you see an average of, and again, I know all of this varies by franchise, but are franchise owners making millions? Are they making hundreds of thousands? Like, how much are franchise owners often taking home at the end of the day?
Franchisees are usually making what they would like to be making. And sometimes it's a little bit more than they made in their corporate life or their last job. But they say, yeah, I could make more, but you know what? I like my life and I get to coach my kids in Little League, or I get to go golfing on Thursday mornings and life is good. So I can think of one person I talked with and I was asking him about his business. And he said, yeah, I'm an antique collector, and he had a home services business. And sometimes when I'm talking to someone, if they have antiques, he said, yeah, I'll spend an extra hour or two just because I can and I like to do it. So could I run it more efficiently? I could. Am I thrilled with my business? I am.
That's great.
And then, of course, you have the empire builders that are very driven financially, and they want to have this large business, many locations or many territories, and they want to grow and scale it.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is up to the person and how they want to implement and execute.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I love that answer. It's up to you how much you make. And I think that's true of many arenas. And so I think that's great. Kind of before we bring this to a close, this has been super valuable. And this is exactly what I wanted with this episode was to kind of show people like there's different ways than just creating everything from scratch. The hardest thing in my business over the last 7 years has been building out the processes to serve clients and get clients, like actually building those processes out. And it would be fantastic if somebody would just hand me a book with those processes in it. So I know it's not
quite one easy, thing that people aren't really aware of when they investigate a franchise and start looking at it deeply is the resources, not only at the corporate office, but all the other franchisees, mm-hmm. because they're all doing that same thing.
Right.
And they're this network. So when you do good, they're there to cheer you and support you and celebrate you, and they know what it took. And if you make a mistake or you screw up and you talk to someone, they go, yeah, I understand. I did that too, or I almost did it, or I remember it from training. And you're not alone. And that network is just a wonderful resource for you and also can help to build a franchise, new product development, things like that. Mm-hmm. It's tremendous.
Well, and you're not necessarily competing with them. Oftentimes, you know, you have territorial agreements and licenses. Right. And so it's, you know, why wouldn't you share what you're learning? Because they're in a different region.
Exactly. And the better they do in many respects, the better you can do. And again, you want to go with a business, a company that's thriving, that's growing, that is looking ahead And you have all these additional people going in that same direction, which of course helps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that is so substantial and so significant. So Dan, before we go, how did you get into this world? I know we're supposed to start stories with the beginning, but I want to end this one with the beginning. How did you get into this?
It was purely accidental.
As many of my best
We had been are. Living in the Midwest, and you might tell from my accent. And we had moved for my job, and my husband was home with our young daughter. And then he took a job in Northern California, so I became the trailing spouse. I answered one ad, one newspaper ad back in the day, for a marketing director for a franchise company. Now, I didn't know franchising, but I have an MBA and did know marketing, and I was hired. So I learned franchising and then a number of different industries within that. I became a marketing director for a pack and ship franchise. And many times, like what happens to the people I work with, I was downsized. I was shocked. I was part of senior management. But then I learned about a company called FranChoice that did franchise consulting. And I gravitated towards it because of the franchise that I was with. Even though I was not in franchise development, sometimes I would talk to the people that were considering it, and I think, gee, they would make a great business owner. And other times I would scratch my head and I think, I don't know if this is the best for them. I don't know their whole story, but it would seem that there might be a better option. So when I learned about franchise consulting and was invited to join FranChoice, I thought, this is wonderful because I don't have to force a round peg into a square hole. I can listen to the person. We work with a whole range of companies. I can give them options and choices, and they can make that determination.
I love that. Yeah, I love that story, and I love how, you know, life often surprises us, how it gets us into the places that we are. For our listeners who might be interested in talking with you more and learning more, where can they get in touch with you and where can they learn more about what you do?
The easiest is to go to quickchatwithdiane.com. That will take you to my calendar page so you can schedule a short call with me. For those of you who want to tackle my last name, Ploice, you can go to my LinkedIn page, Diane Ploice, the franchise fitter, or dianeploice.com. Ploice is spelled P as in Peter, L-E-U-S-S as in Sam, Sam.
Wonderful. Well, Diane, thank you. This has been wonderful. It's been informative and fun to learn more about. And yeah, best of luck to you and the franchisees that you get the opportunity to work with. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you so much, Seth. And I love chatting with people. I work with people nationwide, and my services are at no charge to them.
Wonderful. Great. Well, you can't beat free on our side, on the franchisee side. You can't beat that kind of advice. So that works out wonderful. So Diane, thank you so much, and we hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Seth.
Thank you so much for listening to the Small Business Storytellers. If you've wanted to start a podcast and have been wondering if you can use podcasting to grow your business, but don't know where to start, I'd love to talk. Head to successwithstories.com/podcast to learn exactly how to launch, grow, and profit from a podcast for your business. Again, that is successwithstories.com/podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this episode, share it with someone you know who would also like it. If you want to be a guest on the podcast or know someone who would be a great guest on the show, let me know. Thank you. And we will see you next time on the Small Business Storytellers.